Hi, everybody. This is Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you today. And today we have a special guest by the name of Aaron. And the reason I have Aaron on the program is that I was watching the Logo Channel, and they have a TV show with the comedian by the name of Ant, and it's called US of Ant. And what he does is he goes to all different parts of the country where he talks with and tries to find gay people in that particular area. And a lot of times it's been different places where it's maybe remote areas and things like that. So it's really kind of interesting to see that. And you've had some wonderful, wonderful stories. And one of those stories was with this gentleman by the name of Aaron. And we'll talk to him a little bit more about what was on the show and a little bit more about him as well as his partner as well as the business that he has. And what I'd like to do without any further ado is to welcome Aaron to the program. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for agreeing to be on the program. And what I was wondering is, because I would like to get a little bit more about you first, and you know, and just to get a little bit of background about yourself. And I was just wondering, can you tell us a little bit about you and how old you are and where were you born?
Sure. My name is Aaron Campy, and I was born in Missoula, Montana. And both my parents came from ranching families. So there are ranches on both my father's and my mother's side of the family.
Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, do you remember how old you were when you realized that you were gay?
Well, I, you know, I suppose I've always known. Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid, I guess I knew. And I suppose, you know, growing up without a lot of gay people around, I probably didn't have a word for it probably until I was into my early teens, I suppose. And at that point, I was pretty sure, yep.
Okay. And did you have any boyfriends or anything like that during high school?
Yeah, well, during high school, I had a clandestine boyfriend, Bert. So he was a friend of mine, and we were friends, and we'd hang out a lot together. And we also had a sexual relationship. So I called him my clandestine boyfriend that I had in high school.
Okay. And how long were you and him together?
Well, I don't know if we ever defined ourselves as together. But we had a physical relationship during my senior year of high school, and spring came along and prom came along, and rather than going to prom, Bert and I went camping. So, that was more fun than prom, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Well, I was just wondering. So, how old were you when you finally told somebody else that you were?
I was probably a sophomore in high school, and one of my best friends. I told, and he was pretty cool with it. He was, you know, the guy I hung out with all the time. Very straight, but very, very cool about it for somebody at age of 15, I guess. But we were in band together and in sports together and did everything together and studied together. So it didn't really change our relationship at all.
Wow. Okay, great. And how about when it came to telling your family, like your mom and dad, or if you had any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I told my mother and my brothers and sisters my freshman year of college, so that's when I told them. And that year, too, I told my grandfather, and this was my mother's father, and my grandfather, mm-hmm. I said, Grandpa, you know, I have something to tell you, and here we are on the ranch, and, you know, I grew up on the ranch, and worked it as a ranch hand and as a cowboy, and I said, Grandpa, you know, I have something to tell you, and I don't know really how you're going to take it. And he really had a concerned look on his face, and he goes, Aaron, don't tell me. You're not a vegetarian, are you? So I said, well, you said, well, no, Grandpa, I'm not a vegetarian. He goes, because, you know, I don't like vegetarians. I said, I know, Grandpa, you know, we live on a cattle ranch, you know, you don't really like vegetarians. He goes, because I just don't understand them. Like, they weren't born that way. You know, why did they become vegetarians? He says, you know, it just doesn't seem natural. You know, people should eat meat. And I said, yeah, I agree. You know, I don't see anything wrong with eating meat. I said, Grandpa, I'm gay. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He goes, oh, just as long as you're, you know, you're not a vegetarian. Said, what are we having for dinner tonight? I said, well, steak, of course. So my grandpa was fairly cool about it, actually. But he certainly didn't like vegetarians.
Wow.
But I told him he should have more tolerance of vegetarians, because some of my best friends are vegetarians. You know, they might come out to the ranch someday. I mean, he's to tolerate that and diversity. But he never really learned to like vegetarians. David, on the other hand, he had no problem with the boyfriend.
So. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's a really funny story. I'm really glad you got to share that because I think really people will really appreciate that because, you're thinking that would be the reaction about being gay, but it was against the vegetarian. So that's a great story. So I was just wondering, how was your, well, I know how your mom's response is because of the show, but I was just wondering, could you tell the listeners who may have not seen that show yet, what your mom and dad's reaction was?
My dad passed when I was about 14, so
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
which is too bad because I think he would have been pretty accepting of me, not just as a gay person, but I think as an adult. I think
Oh,
him and I
sure.
would have been great friends. But my mother was just more surprised than anything else. It just really caught her off guard, and she didn't have any clues that I was about to tell her this or this was the case. But she it didn't take her long to get completely comfortable with it, and she's been nothing but supportive of me and my partner David, and treats us just like my brother and his wife or any other married couple. So
Okay, great.
that's really neat.
Well, awesome. Well, that's definitely what I wanted to hear because obviously, because I just did an interview with another podcaster, and one of the things that he had mentioned was in one of his shows that he was talking to someone else, and he said, "Well, I did an interview with Ramble Redhead," and he said that he says, "Well, I don't know if my story was all that exciting since when I came out, I really didn't have any issues, I didn't have any problems. My mom and dad, my family, and all my friends were very accepting." And the person that I was talked to has said, "Well, don't you realize that that's a good thing?" And see, that's one of the things that I've been trying to get, the younger people who probably are listening to the show, just to get them to understand that, hey, it is okay to be who you are. It's okay to, come out, and it's, you have to do it when you're ready, of course, but you have to do it. And it's really important for us to be out and proud, and not be ashamed, and not to allow, whoever it may be, to continue to treat us like second-class citizens. I know I keep saying that over and over again, but I was just wondering, I mean, have you always felt that way as well, as far as, as far as the coming out process?
I've always, felt safe about it, and I've always felt like it's a good thing. And I'm at a point in my life where I can't imagine being in because I'm so out in all different areas of my life.
Right.
So I don't understand what it's like to be in anymore personally. But I do empathize with people's struggles when they come out. But it's
Well, sure.
absolutely something that's worth it, and will make your life so much better.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because that's one of the, because you just feel like a tremendous weight has been taken off your back once you finally be able to do it and admit to someone, and it's just really amazing. Okay, so after that, so obviously after high school, then you decided to go into college. Is that correct?
After high school, I went to Boston University, and
Okay.
my sophomore year, I met David, who is currently my partner. We're coming up on 19 years,
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And we met when I was a sophomore in college, and he was also a student at Boston University. So that's he's the love of my life, and he continues to be the love of my life 19 years later, and it's wonderful.
Wow, that's incredible. So how in fact did you meet then?
Well, we met through straight friends, actually, who weren't trying to set us up or anything like that. Some of the guys in my dorm were going out to Cambridge to listen to a band at a club, and I said, "Well, Aaron, why don't you go along?" And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll go along." And we walked over to another side of campus, and they knew some other friends who were going to the same club. So we picked up those friends, and we started to walk over to the subway station and started to talk to this guy. I met this guy, David, and we talked in the subway, and we got to the club, and we went to the back of the club and talked to each other for another 2 hours. I mean, I don't even remember listening to the band or dancing or anything. And somewhere in that 3 hour conversation, we started to, I came out and he came out, and we really, really connected on a intellectual level, just to start out with.
Right.
I guess in that respect, it was kind of love at first sight.
Wow.
And been together ever since.
Wow. So, well, I'm just curious, obviously when you first meet someone, and if you are a gay person and you don't know for sure if, because at the time you didn't know for sure that he was, right?
Well, it didn't even cross my mind when I first met him.
Right.
I was just introduced to somebody new, and I was just having a
Right.
conversation with him like I would with anybody. And I said, "Oh, this guy seems really cool. I'm really enjoying having a conversation with him." And we were talking about all sorts of different things before we even got to the gay thing. But certainly when the gay thing came out, there was definitely even, you know, the fireworks going.
Well, that's the point I was wondering is that, you know, when you first meet somebody, normally the first thing you don't say is, hi, my name's Tom, and, oh, I'm gay. You know, and that's normally, you know, maybe
well,
like
I hope
the,
not.
The,
I mean, yeah. You know, and I hope people's identity gets beyond, you know, their sexual orientation.
Well, no, I know. But the question is, I was just curious, what made you decide to tell him then? Would something spark in the conversation that made you realize that, hey, I should say this? Or
well, actually, I came out in a very casual kind of way. I had been dating a law student at BU at the time.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't anything serious, but, you know, I'd been going out on a few dates with this guy, and he'd asked some kind of question that led to me just talking about, you know, me dating this guy. And at that point, he wasn't out to me, and I didn't know he was gay. I just started just talking about this incident with this other guy.
Well, sure.
So that's cool. How it came out.
So how did – so after the first date, obviously you had a connection. Obviously you felt really connected to him and you talked. And you then obviously coming out to both each other that you realized that, hey, you got another thing that you had in common. I was just wondering what was the – how soon later did you guys have the second date or the third date and things like that?
Date? I don't know. I think we went from meeting each other to couplehood. I don't know if we ever dated, really, you know. You know, we, after that, you know, that, I mean, actually that first night we, you know, hooked up and seemed to be together ever since.
Oh, wow.
So
what made you realize that he was the one? What made you realize that, yeah, this is something that I want to continue on a, I mean, was your expectations at the very beginning to go long-term like that?
No, you know, I don't think I ever, you know, thought, you know, oh my God, this is the person for the rest of my life. You know, those first couple weeks, I suppose, I thought, you know, wow, this is a really great guy, and I'm really enjoying spending time with him, and he's interesting and intellectual and funny and talented and attractive, and I just really love spending time with him. Mm-hmm. And I think after a few weeks, you start to realize, oh my gosh, you know, this could really, really last.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm really, really happy for you. So what was the, when did you two, like, move in together then? Did you always have a separate apartments during the college, or did you move in together, or?
Well, the year I met, I was in a dorm, and he was living in, living off campus in a house. But at the end of that year, we moved into an apartment together. So that's when we first lived together, that summer after my sophomore year.
And how did that go, you know, having that first apartment together?
Oh, it was great. We were subletting a nicer apartment than we really could afford, but because we were subletting it for some law students who were away from the summer, and they had all those things that we didn't have as college students, like cable TV and couches and wine glasses and air conditioning, and a little balcony off the back. And so, you know, we really thought we were living high on the hog after slumming in the dorm. It felt like a real step up, and it was our first little bit of nesting and living together, and
yeah,
it worked out very well. We actually to this day live together pretty well. So
well, good. Well, see, that's one of the things that I always think that, you know, no matter whether you're gay or straight, obviously when you first move in with somebody, that, you know, that's when you're really you know, find out whether or not you're really a good couple together, because obviously you're around each other a lot and you have to deal with the ups and downs of that kind of situation. I was just wondering, did you guys have any struggles at all in the beginning at all?
Well, you know, of course we have our arguments like any couple.
Yeah.
And I think what we learned quickly, it's not whether you're going to fight or not, because you're going to fight and you're going to argue and you're going to disagree. It's
right.
How you fight and whether you're fighting fair, and you're fighting in a way that's, you know, reasonable and isn't mean-spirited, but really is about conflict resolution.
Right.
And so I think that's where, you know, all couples need to learn how to fight. And if you're not fighting or arguing about something or have conflict about something, you know, you're not really being realistic, because that's how human relationships are. I mean, we are going to have differences with people and conflicts. but it's how we resolve them that's important.
Yeah. Well, what would you say your secret to success as far as that kind of thing is concerned? How do you both handle it when you guys are having an argument? Is there a certain way that you try to deal with it, and maybe a different way that he does?
Well, I don't know how interesting this is. I mean, how we fight.
Curious.
We just have a different attitude about different things and different approaches. And I guess ultimately, I think how we resolve things is we just talk it out. We just talk about it, and we usually arrive at some common ground, or we arrive at some way to live with the differences.
Right. Well, see, the reason
one thing that couples, try to do is they try to change their partner or control their partner or get their partner to be a certain person they're not. And that's not fair. It's not fair to that other person.
Right. Well, see, the reason I asked that question was I did an interview with another couple that had been together they've been together right now for, 24, 25 years. And see, one of the things that I thought was really comical is that they said that whenever they have an argument, they both look at each other and say, oh, okay, we can continue to fight about this, or what we can do is we can go see a movie. And so what they do is they would pick to go see the movie, and then normally by the time the movie was over with, they would forget about whatever they argued about. And, the funny thing is that the following Monday, the one guy went to work, and see, everybody knew their little policy about going to the movie, and so the one lady says, hey, what happened? What'd you do this weekend? And he said, Tim and I went to a movie. And she goes, oh, my God, you guys fighting again? And he goes, no, we actually just went to go see a movie. So it was just kind of a cute story because, but that again, it goes down to the basic level, just how you talk about it, how you deal with things. And if you're mature and adult about it, then you can overcome those type of differences. And so that's really great. I appreciate you bearing with me on those questions. But I was just wondering, so how long did you guys live together in that apartment or in that area then?
Well, we lived in Boston until we had both graduated.
Right.
So that was 2 years later. At that point, then I'd had a job offer in Montana, and so we moved to Missoula, Montana.
Wow.
And that's where we lived for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Missoula's a great town. It's a university community, and it's fairly liberal. It's in the mountains in northeast Montana, it was a good place for us at that point in our lives because we were still young, and we're still young now. But for a young person, it's a good place to be in a university town. And there was always a lot going on, and a lot of outdoor recreation, which is what I enjoy.
Right.
So that was a good spot for us.
Well, what kind of work were you doing then?
I was working as a writer. So I was a staff writer for the Missoulian, which is the daily paper. And I also did freelance writing as well.
Oh, wow. And what about your partner? What was he doing at the time?
He was, he's a musician. So he was playing in the Missoula Symphony.
Oh, wow.
And he was also had some students, so he was doing some teaching. And then he had miscellaneous jobs to get him by at that point.
Okay, good. So obviously you both had different spectrums as far as hobbies and things that you like to do. And obviously your partner was from the city and you're from Montana area. So I was just wondering, what was that like for him, moving back to that area? What was that like for him?
Well, for David, it was a very new experience to live in. First of all, live in the West. He's originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and I grew up in suburban Louisville. And then living in Boston, which is a city, and then finally in kind of a mid-sized or small to mid-sized city in the Rocky Mountains, was a big change for him. But he is a very adaptable kind of person, and didn't take him along at all to be comfortable in that environment. I think it was tough for him, to give up some of the opportunities that he had professionally as far as music goes. That he was really on an orchestral, a bigger orchestral professional track, and by moving to Montana, he'd kind of given that up, not entirely, because he was still performing and still doing quite a bit of music, but just on a different level.
Right.
I think that was difficult for him. For me, the West is really where my heart is and where I want to be. I'm a mountain guy and like to be in the mountains. I like to ski and snowboard and hike and climb and backpack and horseback ride. And so all these things, all this recreation we have out here is really so much about what my life is about. And David has learned to do some of those things and enjoy them, but it's not kind of core to his being like it is for me.
Right.
So that's something we work out.
Well, good. So, well, see, obviously, you know, what makes a couple strong, too, is that, you know, again, you can have a lot of things that you have in common, but then it's also okay to have, you know, different hobbies or different interests. Like, for example, obviously, his is a musical level where yours is more of the, you know, the outdoor stuff. And so you kind of let each other have your own moments. You can do your thing and then he can do his. And so therefore it kind of, you know, creates a better balance for you as a couple as well. And I just think that, you know, that's good. And that's what, you know, like with my ex and I, when we were together, that was one of the things that we both had in common too, that he had his interests, I had mine. And then, you know, we didn't always felt that we had to be together 24/7. You had to have that time apart as well as the time together. So I think that's really cool. But I was just wondering, you mentioned about how David had to, you know, maybe change his goals or track as far as music. And I was just wondering, so obviously that must have really proved to you the love that he had for you and willing to make that type of, you know, change for him. So I was just wondering, how did that feel for you?
I was open for him to pursue something, you know, something professionally, musically. I mean, I don't think I ever kind of cut him off, and I was
right.
open to living in other places if that's where his job led him.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided to not, you know, pursue that track, that he kind of liked the life that we had, and the life that we had is and continues to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But some, you know, neat things, you know, recently, after 5 years in Missoula, we moved to Red Lodge, Montana, which
right.
is in the south central part of the state. And that is the area where I grew up. So my family's ranch on my mother's side is about 20 miles from the town of Red Lodge. And we moved back to be closer to my family. And I wanted to be back here where I grew up. It's a ski town, and so there's a ski area. But 10 minutes from my house, so I
get
to get out and snowboard when I want. And we're also 30 miles from Yellowstone National Park, so we're right in the near wilderness area. The closest city is Billings, which is an hour away. And so when we moved in, I was in 97, we moved to a Red Lodge. David started to play in the Billings Symphony, and since then, he's become the principal cellist for the Billings Symphony. So he's sitting principal, and that's given him a lot of opportunities. And he has students, and he plays in different chamber groups, and has recordings, and is on national public radio. And you know, so he does have some real professional musical opportunities locally here, which is great. So he's still able to have a music career, even though he's living in a rural area.
Well, cool. Well, that's great. I mean, glad to hear that, because obviously, you know, you all each have your own passion about things, and it's really important that you get to do it and follow your dream and continue that, because it's just what, you know, what everybody, I think, wants. And, you know, like with me and, you know, this podcast, it's becoming an obsession for me, and be able to find new people and be able to do it. And it's brought a lot of joy in my life, and be able to meet some wonderful people like yourself, and being able to share your story, you know, with the listeners. And I've got a lot of great feedback from them, and I just want to, you know, thank them for, you know, this opportunity. And it kind of, you know, the one thing that really touched me about the TV show that you're on, again, it's US of Ant, and what it was is a show, and they did a full show on Montana, and I was just wondering, can you tell us how they went about finding you and getting your story?
The producers were doing their initial research about Montana and trying to find, you know, gay stories in Montana, and in 1995, I quit my other jobs and started a company called Out West Global Adventures, And my company is an international adventure travel company that does trips for gays and lesbians. So we put together hiking trips, biking trips, sea kayaking trips, skiing, rafting, hiking, worldwide. So we do adventure travel for gay men and women. So I started that in 1995. And that, of course, is one of the first things will show up on the web if you type in gay Montana or gay cowboy or anything like that.
Right.
Because we're kind of it. The producer was doing his initial research, came across our company website. So he came across Out West Global Adventures. And then just called us up and just started to talk to us and wanted to know a little bit about our story and how we got started and what we do and where we live. And he found it interesting. And then he came out and talked to us for a while and scouted the location. And they decided that we would be one of the three featured groups on the show.
Okay, great. And so what all did they talk about while you were on the show?
Well, essentially, Ant, who's a comedian, spent about a day and a half with us. And even though our segment of the show is maybe 8 minutes or 10 minutes, there was actually a day and a half of filming.
Right.
And he, you know, his process is just coming in and getting to know us, and we bring him around town, and we brought him out to the ranch to go horseback riding, and had him sit down and talk to my mother. We happen to have a group at the ranch as part of our adventure travel company. So we had a gay group at the ranch that happened to be there the 2 day and a half he was with us. So he got to go out and meet everybody who was on the trip and talk to them and ask them what kind of time they were having. And he got to play cowboy for a while. And then from that, all that footage, then they frame it. I mean, they take out and they put together a storyline that goes with it. So that's
right.
Kind of how the process worked.
Yeah.
It's kind of like reality TV in that, you know, you're just walking around being yourself and talking to them, and you know, the producers will kind of decide how to, you know, what to take out from them.
Right.
And I think they actually did a pretty good job with our segment and made an interesting story out of it. And I think they presented a pretty truthful story from the whole thing, that what they presented on TV really is who we are and what we do. I think that was kind of surprising to me, because you never know which clips they're going to use when they put you on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because you know, I've seen a lot of shows or read articles about people who like the reality shows like Amazing Race or The Real World or Big Brother, you know, all those different ones. They've got all that footage, and then the producers basically can then, you know, piece it together to make it look like, I mean, like one show they might make the person look like a total angel, and the next show they might make them look like the world's worst person. And like you said, you had no, I mean, you had a better idea, I mean, an idea, but you really don't know exactly how they were going to portray it. So, but I thought it was very well done, and I really enjoyed it. In fact, that's the reason why I wanted to contact you in the first place, because, A, I thought, you know, the story was really, you know, interesting, and then I thought about you two being a couple that have been together for 19 years, and then the other great part was about your mom and the wonderful things that she had said, and it was just really an emotional show, but, you know, just seeing how positive and very happy that she is of you and your partner's relationship. I mean, I just thought it was wonderful. And then, you know, seeing him getting on the horse and doing all those different things, and you know, and the part I thought was really cute was when he was talking to the one guy, and I don't know if he's an employee of yours or he's one of the people that were there, but he's like, well, where's you and your partner? And he says, oh, I'm single. And he goes, what? You know, say that again? And so I thought that was really cute about that part. So overall, it was a very good experience then for you, right?
Yeah, you know, it was a good experience, and it was actually quite fun. So I did enjoy it.
Well, obviously, with the success of Brokeback Mountain, certainly didn't hurt as well, and obviously it may have had an impact on the business that you have and the people that want to, you know, do this kind of thing. Has that movie been a big effect for you as well?
Yeah, the movie has actually had a very good effect on our business, and I think created an awareness of an opportunity that people have to go to an authentic working cattle ranch and be a cowboy or a cowgirl for a week. After the movie, we had a lot of inquiries and a lot of people who became interested in kind of following that childhood dream of getting on a horse and riding across the across the range and herding cattle. And we actually have been running gay groups on my family's ranch for over 10 years. So we've been doing it a long time. And it just so happened that the movie came out, and we've been full, and all of our groups have been really great that we've had this summer, and we'll continue to run this program. It's been great for travelers and great for us, of course.
Well, good. And, you know, just so the people know, it's a Montana ranch vacation, and it's called the Lazy EL Ranch, and it's a 12,000-acre cattle ranch in Montana Mountains, and it says saddle up and discover the real Brokeback Mountain, and it has all the information right on their website, which you can go to, which is www.outwestadventures.com, and then what you do is just look at destinations, and then it'll show you all the different ones they have. They have Aspen Gay Trip, a British Columbia sea kayaking. They do the Glacier Explorer, where you can hike, bike, ride, raft in the Rockies. You can do the Grand Canyon. You can do Yellowstone. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on and on about all the different things. You have things in South America with Buenos Aires, Chile, Peru. Then there's also Mexico, the Caribbean, Europe, Italy, Spain. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on. It's just amazing. And then you also have several trips like with Africa as well as Asia. And I was just wondering, of all the different things that you have listed here, obviously you must have did these yourself. I was just wondering, is there any one of these particular trips that really stood out for you?
Well, of course, they're all wonderful. I mean, of course, all.
Well, I know. But I just wonder.
I'd say my pick, my favorite parts of the world are places with mountains. You know, like I said, I'm a mountain guy. So when I get in mountains, it seems to be my element. Some people are beach people. I'm a mountain person. So my favorite parts of the world have been the Himalayas, the Rockies, the Andes, the Alps. Those kind of experiences that I've had in mountains are certainly some of my favorite. Most recently, one of the trips that I've really, really enjoyed was to Bhutan, and that is a Himalayan kingdom between India and China and east of Nepal. So it's a small country nestled up in the Himalayas, and not many people have heard of it, and that's one thing that makes it really neat. It has been protected for a lot of the Western influence, so you don't have, you know, it hasn't become Starbucks and McDonald's or anything like that, which is really refreshing when you have ubiquitous companies all over the world. No matter where you go, you can get a Coca-Cola. So it's really refreshing to go to a country that's, well, you can still get Coca-Cola, of course, but that hasn't been completely inundated by that. And we run different types of trips in Bhutan. We do trekking trips, which is hiking from one campsite to the next up in the mountains. The other types of trips we do is an overland trip, which is visiting cultural sites, monasteries, and villages in the mountains, doing that by jeep. So that's also another wonderful trip.
Wow. Well, it sounds amazing. I mean, you have some wonderful things and that you can do, and I just want to encourage people definitely to go to the website. Again, it's www.outwestadventures.com, and you can read more about these type of things, as well as the ranch thing as well. And you said that now are all these trips you know gay related, or are gay groups only, or anybody can go? Is it,
well, anyone can go? We say we're straight friendly, but really we are a gay and lesbian adventure travel company. So 99% of the people who travel with us are gay. Sometimes we have straight people, but it's usually a friend or a brother or sister. Once a guy brought his mom on a trip to Costa Rica, so it was Patty and 20 gay men, and I made an announcement in the bus the first day. I said, "Okay, queens, there's only one queen, and it's Patty, so don't even try."
Well,
and Patty had a ball, and Dave, her son, who was on the trip with her, I think actually she had more fun than Dave did. she certainly had a wonderful time. So, you know, people are welcome to bring their you know, their family members or their straight friends on the trips. But, you know, most trips are all gay and lesbian, but it doesn't necessarily
right.
have to be that way.
Right.
And then part of the, you know, part of the fun of being in an all-gay group is just the comfort and the camaraderie and the joking. But it's
right.
just a great time.
Do you have any other fun stories like the one you just told regarding any trips that you've been on or heard about afterwards that maybe if you hadn't gone on it, it was any other stories?
I have a million travel stories, and if you get me started, Tom, I'll just go on forever.
Well, just give me a couple.
Well, one thing that what I enjoy about our business is it and especially adventure travel, is it changes people, and that my philosophy when we go and visit a place is we as gay people are guests in your country, or we're guests in your culture, and we're going to find out what that culture is like and how we can participate in it or be a part of it. You know, we're not there waving the gay flag saying we're here, we're queer, we're going to change you, because we're not going to change you. But we can change individuals, and we can change individuals' points of view. But so I always try to encourage people to think of it that way. You know, think of, you know, when you go to, you know, different parts of the world, they're not quite at gay the way we're at gay, and the way we're comfortable with gay in the West, in Europe, and in North America, is different in a third world country, where it's a very different kind of concept or a concept they're not even aware of. You know, they think of it as a Western idea. But, you know, I can give several examples, I think, of how we've kind of opened people's mind. And this one is actually in our own country. We run trips in Utah, and we run a trip through Moab, Utah, which is a great small town between Arches and Canyonlands National Park. And there's just wonderful recreation in that area. There's hiking and horseback and rafting and rock climbing. And so there's a lot to do, and it's absolutely beautiful scenery. And this was maybe 10 years ago, and I was putting together the trip, and I found this great bed and breakfast. I mean, just beautiful bed and breakfast in Moab, Utah. And so I go in and I talk to the owner and his wife, and, you know, they're obviously I'm a Mormon couple. And he shows me around the property, and I talk to him a little bit about, you know, our bringing people there. And, you know, I said, well, and our groups are gay and lesbian. And he said, oh, well, we've never had gay or lesbian people at our bed and breakfast.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, yeah, you have. but, you know, then he was open. You know, he said, yeah, but that's okay. And it was almost like he was telling me he'd never met a gay person, which,
right.
of course, he has, but, you know, he wasn't really aware of it. And so he had a little bit of trepidation, but, you know, he gave me the contract and my rates, and we found a time when the tour would be going through, and we were going to stay in there 3 days. And our tour group showed up, and they were so the guys in our group were so appreciative of what these people had done, you know, like how beautiful their gardens were and how nice the breakfast was and all the little details and all the rooms and the photographs that they had and the little history book that they'd put on the coffee room table. And the guys were just running around just going, wow, this place is just beautiful. And they were going up to the owners and just saying, wow, you know, this is really a special place, and we really appreciated it. And so we left, and about a week later, Greg, the owner, he called me up and he said, when are you coming back next year? He said, you know, I really want you guys to be a regular, you know, a group to come through, and we'd love to have you back at the hotel or the guest house. And, you know, we really enjoyed having your group, and they really obviously had a great time and had a lot of fun in Moab, and we'd just be more than willing to host you all again. So I think that's an example of how subtly or in our own kind of way, maybe we change people through gay travel, and maybe change it one person or one couple at a time, that we do have an impact on the world, and we impact not the world, you know, a huge political way, but by one person at a time. And maybe that couple who owns that guest house will think differently when they hear about gay rights and hear about gay people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is, an awesome story, and I'm so glad that you shared that with me because and with the audience, because that, you know, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want people to know. That's what I want to, you know, people to experience, and that's why I wanted to do this show, so we can hear this kind of things and hear positive stories. And so, I mean, that's awesome. I was just wondering, did you have any other stories that, like, on the international level that had the same type of response or of that nature?
Well, I think, again, you know, getting the idea of being kind of culturally sensitive and the idea that gay, as we think of it, gay is a cultural idea. Gay is a cultural idea. And homosexuality is, you know, sexual orientation, and having gay sex is a homosexual act. But the idea of gay is an identity built around that and beyond that. And many cultures just aren't there yet. So it is kind of a different culture. It's a Western idea. And in places like Nepal and India and parts of the Middle East, the idea of living with a member of the same sex and creating a household and is just for most people, unless they've been, you know, Western educated, it's a foreign idea. It's just they just don't think about it. But they definitely, you know, there's definitely homosexual behavior going on, and there's definitely a gay vibe going on. In places like India and Nepal, it is taboo for a man and a woman to walk down the street holding hands. So you're not going to see even a married couple walking down the street in Kathmandu holding hands, because men and women should not show that kind of affection in public. Is just against their cultural norms. But on the other hand, it's perfectly acceptable for two men to walk down the street holding hands or arm in arm or put their arms around each other in public. That is a perfectly acceptable thing. But you wouldn't see the same behavior among heterosexuals. And even older men, like, for example, when we're doing a trek in Nepal, you know, our porters who might be in their 40s, they'll stop and put up the pack or the load they're carrying and lie up against a tree, and another porter will come up and he'll put his arm around him, and they'll lie up against the tree for an hour, just, you know, taking a break. And that's normal. I mean, people don't even think that's weird. It's a different idea for, you know, Westerners. Homophobia is so it's so bad that men, heterosexual men, can't even show affection towards each other in public without raising an eyebrow, and it's ridiculous.
Right.
So I think that's something people learn from that travel experience.
Wow. I was just curious. You know, obviously you just mentioned about, you know, the two different stories there, and I was just wondering, do you have any, like, I mean, I know you said it really changes people by, you know, kind of stepping out of their box and doing something that maybe they wouldn't have done. And then once they do it, once they've overcome it, you know, whatever it might be, then obviously they have that, you know, great sense of meeting that goal and that satisfaction. I was just wondering, you probably get tons of letters or emails about, you know, how they felt after the adventures. I was just wondering, do you have any highlights of that at all?
Well, yeah, I think there's... that happens on a small and kind of a big life example. An example I have is we were doing a Grand Canyon trip, and there was a woman from San Francisco who was very driven and very corporate-minded, and she was nervous about, you know, being away for a week without email or phone. she just couldn't imagine, you know, her life without all these things and all this material and all this technology that she was just so used to being part of her life. But, you know, she said she was going to do the trip anyway. And it took her a few days on that river trip to really relax and really get away from it. And by the end of the trip, she decided to quit her job, go back to school, do a different career that she was more interested in, and forget about kind of the high-powered, money-driven life that she had created for herself.
Wow.
And just being in the desert and being around the rocks and nature and the power of the river was enough to jolt her out of her urban existence and point of view to make her rethink her entire life. Now, that's a pretty extreme example, but that is something that happened on one of our trips.
Wow, but that's amazing. I mean, that really is.
Today, she's, you know, I'm friends with her today, to this day, and she still talks about it. So.
Wow. Well, that's really good. I mean, that's the great thing is that people can get out of this type of thing. I mean, you can really have a life-changing experience. I mean, that's amazing. I was just wondering, do you have any other things you'd like to add as far as that, or would you like to move on?
Why don't we move on?
Okay. Well, see, one of the things I definitely wanted to talk to you about is that I on your website, again, it's outwestadventures.com, and one of the things that you can do is they have the destination activities, calendar, what's new, and questions you might have. But then one of the things I thought was neat was that you have the About Us, and you talk about, you know, you and David and your partnership. And one thing that I thought was really cool is that you also appeared in a book called Men Together. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
How that all started?
Men Together is a coffee table book, and it has big black and white photographs, just beautifully done photographs, and with them are stories. And what they did is they had photographed and talked to gay couples who'd been in longer-term relationships and talked to them about their relationships and their lives and where they live and how they live. Again, one of those things, it's who you know. I had a friend from college who knew the editor of the book, and she called me up and she said, oh, you guys would be great for this book, you know, Men Together. You know, you guys have been together, and at the time it was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years. You know, they called me on the phone, and they talked to us, and they decided it was an interesting story. And they came out to photograph us, and they wanted to photograph us on my family's ranch because, of course, that's a beautiful place and beautiful scenery, and we could do it on horseback and really capture the majesty of the West, but also the relationships that we had between each other. That was the photography side, and then we were interviewed by the writer who talked to us about our lives and what we do in our lives together. So that's the book.
Well, it's a great book. I actually I found it and actually bought the book, and I thought it was really, really nice. And I just want to let the people know that are listening to the show that if you'd like to check out this book, I will have a link on Amazon.com, and I'll find some other sources as well, and so people can check it out as well. And, unless you have anything else to add, I'd like to go ahead and ask you the final question, which is what I like to ask all my guests. And I just wanted you to think about this, is that, you know, obviously you're, and I appreciate you being on the program and telling us about your story and what you do for a living. And I just want to tell you I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to, if you had an opportunity to talk to the younger GLBT generation that are probably listening to the show, and I was just wondering if you could give them any type of advice. I was just wondering what that would
be. Well, I guess my advice to them would be advice that I would give to anybody, and that is just be the best person that you know how to be, and the rest will follow. Good things in life will follow when you're being the best person you can be, and that even though, you know, being gay might seem like a challenge or a burden, if you are successful in other parts of your life, whatever part of your life that is, whether that be school or work or a hobby or the relationships you have with other people, trying to have good relationships with your family and your friends, just doing well at other parts of your life, the gay part of your life will not seem like a burden, and it will not seem like such a difficult thing to deal with. It'll just become another part of your life. And so I guess my suggestion would be just be good at all parts of your life, and the gay part of your life will be good as well.
Okay, great. Well, again, I really appreciate your time, and again, I want to let everybody know again about the website. I'm saying it over and over again, but again, it's www.outwesternadventures.com, and what you can also do is request a catalog by dialing 1-800-743-0458. And again, I'd like to thank you, Aaron, for being on the program, and I'd like to give you an opportunity if you'd like to say goodbye to the lovely listeners out there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Tom. Great time talking to you, and so long. Happy trails.
What I'd like to do, everybody, is to thank you for being on the program, and I'd like for you to please do me a favor and email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com, or if you'd like to, you can also go to my website, which is rambleredhead.com, and you can leave your comments or leave a message on the site as well, and I'd love to hear from you. So take care and keep on listening to the Ramble Redhead Show. Thank you.